This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice word in Parshas Mishpatim from the Ora Meir. The Ora Meir says on the Pusik, Sikna Eved Ivri. It says every Yid who wants to have the Avoidus Ivri, he wants to serve Hashem properly. So the Pusik says, the Shaishunim Tavoid, it's talking about the different Midas, Shaish, Sheva, Yimai Binyan, that a person should be Misakin, putting in days and nights and serving Hashem. Right? Torah, Tefillah, Maasa Mitzvahs, wonderful things. So what happens sometimes is, though, that a person goes out and he, all of a sudden, he loses the focus. He knows when he's sitting in the Besmedesh, he's sitting at home, and it's easier for him to remember that he has to serve Hashem. But what happens is, he goes out into the street, he has different things that he has to take care of. Panus is Baisoi. So all of a sudden, he starts forgetting why he came to this world. He loses focus, and he's not anymore serving Hashem the Avodas Ivri that he was supposed to. And the Torah is telling us, in Bal Ishuhi, now he has a wife and he has children to take care of, and they're going to ask him, hey, what are you doing at home all day, sitting and learning? You have to go do what you got to do, what you undertook to do. And now all of a sudden, that this becomes part of his excuse why he's not serving Hashem anymore, because now he's busy with other things. And he has a Maimar Chazal to back it, that Oysa Tzedukah B'chalai, Simafan Sishta Ben Abaytsoi. So he's very busy. He doesn't have time to serve Hashem properly anymore. And the Pusik says that in Bal Ishuhi, Yotze Ishti Imoi, if that's what you're going to be busy with, then later on, in the world to come, then you and your family will not be in the right place because you were using them as an excuse and they were your excuse and you just didn't, you weren't busy with what you're supposed to be busy. Now I remember when I heard this word, the way it was repeated was that how could a person taka make sure that, you know, as long as he's sitting in Besmadish, Erlecha Bocher, nice boy, serving Hashem, sitting in Koil, everything's wonderful, but then what do you do when you go out in the real world? Right? How do you? And the only way to do it is to prepare yourself. You prepare yourself in general for the next stage in life. And you prepare yourself every day before you go out into the streets. And you remember, why am I here? What am I doing? If people aren't prepared in advance, they lose focus. This is a typical, when people try to remind themselves in the moment what they're supposed to be doing, they lose focus. And so often we just get pulled into different directions. And aside from being a gewaltige lesson for how to deal with life and life's challenges, but even just day to day, there's so many things that people find themselves in different challenges, challenging moments, whether it's a uncomfortable situation between people, or uncomfortable at home, or uncomfortable with children, whatever it is. And if you wait for these things to happen, and you don't prepare yourself, you don't brace yourself, then of course you get stuck. We get overtaken emotionally very quickly. And different things tempt us and pull us and distract us and overwhelm us. And that's what happens when we're not prepared. When a person braces themselves, and this is possible with almost anything that's a pattern. Anything that's a pattern. The patterns of children coming home after school and being rowdy and noisy and obnoxious, when you brace yourself for that, you're prepared, okay? So now you know how to handle it, right? Or if the end of the month when it's tax season or everyone has their time when it's, and they get nervous, if you brace yourself for it and you remember in advance, okay, this is going to come, how am I going to deal with it? You better prepare, you can deal with it. So if a person wants to serve Hashem properly and he knows that when he goes out into the streets or he goes to work or whatever it is, he knows in advance, I'm going to get overwhelmed, so what am I doing about it? And he braces himself. That's something that could be very helpful for people, both on a personal level when they feel that they get overwhelmed, or they see that other people around them are getting overwhelmed, and they can brace themselves or prepare the other person for it. So this is, you know, just learning the patterns. It's a shame when people don't learn the patterns. And it's a shame when people don't know how to preempt a difficulty by just being better prepared. Now, it's not always, it's easier said than done sometimes. And a lot of times, as much as you prepare yourself, when it comes in the moment, it's still overwhelming. But very often, you know, with the right preparation and the right attitude, we could overcome a lot of challenge. Let me read a letter. Somebody wrote me, Dear Rabbi Gruen, Baruch Hashem, we're happily married for a few years and very much enjoy your insights into marriage and chinuch. In particular, I enjoy the fact that your advice is very much Torah-based. I'm wondering if you could just address this question in the English shir. It's not quite shalom bayis or chinuch, but it's definitely a relationship issue. I come from a very loud family with a bunch of busy personalities. Although I myself am not so much like that, but it's very much part of who I am. My husband, on the other hand, comes from a very non-assuming, easygoing, quiet type of family. Baruch Hashem, our personalities complement each other. However, my husband has a difficult time when he's in public places, as he wishes he could feel more comfortable to share his thoughts and opinions. He's very wise and often has a lot to add, but his nature holds him back from talking and adding his thoughts. He's just simply a more reserved type of person, but often wishes that he could just start a schmooze, adding his comments, or being one of the guys. This plays out especially so when he's in my parents' home. Often my brothers could be having a hot-headed discussion, and my husband will either just sit there quietly or try to join in, but since he doesn't shout, nobody will even hear him. This makes it hard for him, and also hard for me as a wife to watch. Baruch Hashem, I really have come to appreciate his personality. We both read your book and see tremendous quality in what he is. I wouldn't want it any other way. He's also happy with who he is. However, sometimes this aspect makes him feel down, as he can often feel like an outsider just because he doesn't have the courage to speak up. I want to point out that this doesn't only play out in the in-laws. It happens in the day-to-day setting as well, in koilel or amongst friends. The funny thing is that in his parents' home, he is the oldest, and although he is a quiet personality, he seems to be the most confident over there. Therefore, he really doesn't have this issue, and I sometimes even observed him taking a leading responsibility, which is really not usual for him when it comes to his parents' home. I wonder if you can give us tips how to make this less of an issue. Firstly, my husband wants tips how to feel part or more comfortable to join in discussions. And secondly, how can I as a wife help him? Lastly, I know this may be a separate issue in and of itself, but I wonder if you can advise me on this as well. My husband is now in Koil Bokshim, but as life moves on, we're both wondering about the future. He would like to stay in a Klei Kodesh setting, but we're just wondering how he can make his impact with his quiet personality. He very much wants to help people, but he's not part of the loud dynamic group. Any advice would be appreciated. Looking forward to hearing your wise advice. Thank you, Kol Tov. Okay, wonderful. First of all, when I say wonderful, it's wonderful how things can be presented so nicely. Not that this is a problem at all, and I'm complimenting you for camouflaging the problem. I'm just saying it now because I can't say it in other situations. That people sometimes that write in letters or talk to me about relatively normal situations, wonderful situations even, and it comes with so much complaint and so much resentment and so much bad feeling that I would never want to comment then and say, hey, calm down, because I don't want to trivialize anyone's issues. And like I say, whatever's challenging to anyone is a challenge, because that's bothering them. But I'm just saying that a letter like this could be written like, you know, I had in mind to marry someone who's confident, and I thought he was, and then he's so timid, and I can't handle it, and I'm afraid that everyone's looking down at me, and what's going to be with the future, and he's such a loser, which obviously would be terrible, because it's not the situation at all, but it's just nice, and I think people should learn from this. Every situation could be presented normally, and nicely, and respectfully, and just zoom in on the two little issues that maybe we could do something about, and if we can't, it's also not terrible. And every situation could be presented like a major challenge, and people are just handicapping themselves when they do that, because it's so much harder to solve a problem if it's so huge. It's a huge problem. What do we do now? So anyway, I had to say that because on the one hand, I appreciate reading something that people present nicely, and unfortunately, I hear so many people throughout the week that are presenting problems with such negativity that's the bigger part of the problem. The fact that a person has that negative perspective and perception and all those resentful feelings. Now, I'm just go on to the question over here. In order to have a happy life, right, in general, people that are happy and people that are successful, people that are doing well, life is full of acceptances. Life is full of acceptances, whether it's about yourself or about your spouse, about your children, about whatever it is, about the weather. It can be about a lot of things. There are people that are smart enough, and not always is it wisdom and intellect, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just people's nature, sometimes it's just easier for some people, but the people that are successful at accepting the things they can't change, and even the things that they could change, you know, they accept that, okay, so this is how it is maybe, and maybe that's how it will stay, and I'm not even sure, but life is full of acceptance. The people that don't accept are unhappy, because there's so many things that every person has to do with, has to deal with, has to contend with, that are not up to us. So the people that just get unhappy about those things and resentful about those things, whether they try to convince themselves they could do something about it, or they know that they can't, and that's why they're more unhappy, those people, they struggle. And they're it's so sad. It's sad to watch people being unhappy about the things that they can't change. Now, a personality, for those of you who understand it, you mentioned in my book, Get Along With Everyone, a personality is something that won't change. Your age won't either change. I mean, eventually it changes year by year, but you can't change it. You can't make yourself from a 10-year-old into a 20-year-old. You have to wait 10 years for that to happen, right? So most people, they don't get unhappy about their age because it is what it is. When it comes to certain personality traits and characteristics and different things like that, there are people that do get very unhappy about it because they think they could change it. Now, some of it could be changed, but a lot of it can't. The things that are natural to you, your natural tendencies, your natural style might never change. So there are people that can't handle that. They can't handle it, and they're looking to change, and they're unhappy about it, about why it can't change. And even when they decided it can't change, they get even more unhappy. And it's so important to just know what acceptance means. This is what it is. It's okay. Is it the way I would do it if I was Hashem? No, but it is what it is. And Hashem did it, it must be the best. So aside from whatever Emuna B'tochen aspect definitely comes in, but it's just acceptance. I accept it, I'm okay with it, it's good. I don't like a rainy day, but I accept it, I'm okay with it, it's good. It just helps people focus on the right things in life and lets them be happy. Now, it doesn't mean that people shouldn't look to grow. It doesn't mean people shouldn't look to learn skills. It doesn't mean people shouldn't look to perfect their character and even get over any difficulties or limitations that the personalities present. You know, it's not a question. There's a big difference between accepting and giving up. And sometimes it sounds the same almost. When you accept something, it doesn't mean that you gave up. When you're giving up, you're usually depressed about it. First of all, you're unhappy, so you're giving up. You're not feeling good. And most often people that are giving up, they don't change the things that could be changed either, because they just gave up. Right? They gave up, so they're not even going to do the things that they could. As opposed to somebody who accepts, he accepted it somewhat willingly. He chose to accept it, and he's okay with it, and he told himself he's okay with it. And he's still willing to then learn how to grow and see if there are things that could be done and become better. Sometimes it just means accepting the challenge it will entail. I accept the fact that this will be difficult for me. Now I'm willing to invest and grow, even though it's going to be difficult for me. So I accepted the challenge without accepting the fate that it can't change. So it's just, you know, almost every skill could be learned. And sometimes it's necessary, and sometimes it's not necessary. I remember talking to a guy who was very low confidence, not in a crippling way, not in a way that was limiting him or making him dysfunctional at all, but he didn't have the confidence to be a big speaker and to go make announcements. But that was one job that he was offered, and he decided, I'll go for it. And he was struggling to be able to make an appeal and announcements and get up and speak, and he was going for therapy and doing so many things. And at some point I asked him, I said, it's wonderful that you're looking to overcome this challenge, that you're not naturally a big, loud guy. But how much are you going to invest in that? How much time and money and effort are you going to invest in it and still be left with a big challenge in it, all just in the name of, I could do this. It's wonderful if you could, but why? 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 You have other options that are so much simpler and easier, more natural. You could succeed at, you could feel good about. Why are you looking? My point isn't that people should remain shy or be afraid to overcome a challenge or invest energy. Sometimes you have to know, is it worth it or is it not worth it? Should I put myself out there and try to get myself to do things that are not natural to me just by accepting the fact that it's hard for me, but I'll put in all the work? Or no, I'll accept the fact that this is not easy for me and I'll do something that is easy for me. Now, we know, I'll talk about the Parnusa thing in a minute, but there are so many ways for people to work their life, let's call it, right, when you have the opportunities and the choices, that putting yourself in a place that's hard for you is just sometimes silly. It can be hard for you to walk around in uncomfortable boots, right? You could do it, but why would you? No, I'm not gonna let me. I'm not that guy. I'm gonna get there. You'll see. I'm not. Why? So buy a comfortable pair of shoes and go like that. Like, why would you? Why would you try to challenge yourself if it's not necessary? Not necessary, and you could be more successful when you don't. So that's something that people have to think about. So part of acceptance, acceptance means you're not depressed about it. You accept something willingly. You accept that it will take effort. You accept the amount of effort or work it will take. And you accept that there's maybe certain limitations where you can't get by, and it's all okay. And when people do that, they're usually happy, and they're still ready to grow, and still ready to learn, and still ready to achieve without getting depressed. So with that, I think that was just somewhat of a attitude, a perspective about this whole situation here. Right? If your husband is a quiet, more reserved type of guy, it's fine. And I'm happy that you seem to have accepted him and he accepts himself. And it's fine. Now, if there's something you could still do about the situation where he could feel more comfortable in a rowdy surrounding, okay, so do something about it. It might always be hard. Okay, that's part of acceptance. And if he can't, it's also not terrible. It's also not terrible. Now, how do you build confidence? And this is something that there's probably like an unlimited amount of self-help books about how to feel more confident, overcome social anxiety, or whatever kind of different names that we give these things. There are many ways to work on it. There are. There's no magic. You can ask anyone who ever tried reading these books or going for therapy. There's no magic. And like I started off with, the fact that it's a personality might mean that it will always stay a struggle for certain people. And there's still ways to get over it. And sometimes it's important to do what you could to overcome this as much as possible. There are different therapies and different techniques and different things people do, different mantras people tell themselves, and they review in their head different CBT approaches of, I could do this, I know it's hard for me, but really when I think about it logically, I could. And like, you know, I said before, you brace yourself before a difficulty, right, with the right thoughts, you keep on thinking them again and again, and the power talk and the self-talk and all that, it's all wonderful. It's all wonderful. I think that someone like you, someone like your husband, sounds like he has every reason to keep on repeating in his mind again and again, I have good ideas that I could share with confidence. I think people will benefit from listening to me. I'm an interesting guy. You know, I want to help other people. And when I have something to say, it's good for them to listen. These are all wonderful thoughts that people should keep on telling themselves, especially when they're true. Even if you don't feel it, and even though it's still hard, and it might never become easy, they're helpful. And then there's all the Yiddishkeit attitude of betuchen. There's no reason for me to be shy. Nobody could do anything to me anyway. It doesn't matter what people think. It's all in Hashem's hands. These are all wonderful thoughts that are very real. Very real. And I don't mean to say it in a cynical way. These are things that people should tell themselves again and again. And some people have to tell themselves again and again because they don't feel it. If you tell it to yourself enough times, you might start feeling it a little more. There's another idea of not waiting for the feeling to settle in. This is an old mistake people make. They're going to go for therapy, or they're going to try to review the right thoughts and the truth that they know is true, but they're going to wait for it to like take effect. So I'm going to say it again and again and again until I feel it, but I don't feel it yet. And that's the idea of exposure therapy. If something's bothering you, you put yourself out there. That's it. I'm committed. Today, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to go between those guys, and I'm going to say something three times at least. That's it. One, two, three. I'm going to make sure I get in three comments and make sure everyone heard me. And by putting yourself out there, together with the right mindset, very often things just become more natural and easier. And this is what a lot of things that people get stuck. It's all emotional, obviously. Where people get stuck on different things, and without challenging yourself and making it happen, it might always remain difficult. Making it happen and at the same time trying whatever technique you learned or trying to do to make it easier, you know, you're afraid to go to the Umid and Daven in Shiel. Okay, so if you're going to wait for it to be easy, you might always be waiting. If you commit to doing it twice a week and at the same time you're learning whatever skills or techniques or whatever it is that you're trying to help yourself, you know, your breathing techniques or whatever it is that could help you, it will probably become easier as time goes on. The other half of the question was, you know, what could I do as a wife? And that's amazing. What a wife could do is amazing. Just this past week, I was talking to somebody who's going through a big challenge. Hashem shalom, everyone is going through challenges. And he said, you know, I came to realize, I'm just repeating this, it's not my own, I'm repeating it with someone else, but there's truth to it. I came to realize that, you know, nobody has an easy life. Nobody has an easy life. A lot of difficulties people have, they look at it like, if only this wouldn't be there, everything would be great. Because Baruch Hashem, you know, this is great and that's great. And there's one big thing that I have. They don't realize that the people that don't have this thing have something else, right? Everyone has something. No, nobody's here in this world to select and honor, and just enjoying the cruise. It doesn't work like that in real life. And I agreed with him. I said, it's true. You know, the more I talk to people, the more I realize everyone's dealing with something. So everyone's envious of the person who doesn't have the problem that they're dealing with. They don't realize that person's dealing with something else. Does it always mean that everything's the exact same? No, not at all. Hashem has his own reasons for giving different people different challenges, different levels of challenges. But everyone's challenged with something. But then he added something interesting. He said, but the people who are happily married and have a man with a good wife, tells me, and he talked about a normal man. He said, not a man who's crazy and he's abusing his wife. A normal man. A normal man with a good wife, he has a good life. I said, what do you mean? You just said that everyone has challenges. He said, it's true. But the guy who's happily married with a good wife, he has somebody helping him through every challenge. So it's a whole different challenge. He might be struggling financially, but he has a wife who's encouraging. They might be struggling with a kid, but you have a tati and mami that are together in this and they're helping each other with it. It's still a challenge, but it's a whole different challenge. And you reminded me of something I heard a while back already from an Elter Yid, Klig Yid, who was helping people for a lot of years, and he told me the same thing. He told me the same thing. He said, we can't measure problems. Right, this problem, that problem, this one with health, this one with finances, this one with... Everyone is dealing with their own problems, and everyone has, you know, their own difficulties, and you can't measure which is worse or better or worse. But he said, when people aren't happily married, he would say, that's the worst problem. Why? Because then everything is a problem. The smallest thing that you'd be able to overcome is a problem, and the biggest thing that you would be able to deal with properly becomes a bigger problem. He said, when somebody's not happily married, so shalom bayis technically is the biggest problem. That was his idea. I'm not saying this chazal shalom to... be discouraging to anyone that's not happily married. My point is just that the fact that a wife is encouraging to her husband is the most amazing thing. Most amazing thing. Whether it's the encouragement that it's okay, it doesn't matter if you don't get your word in between all my loud, noisy brothers. It's okay. They don't appreciate you, but I do. Or the encouragement of you could do it, don't worry. You'll see, you'll get through there, boosting the confidence of a husband. You know, these are, I believe in you, you're amazing. Sometimes it looks trivial, and sometimes a man may feel even like slighted, like he's going to take this kind of chizik from his wife, but there's no reason to feel slighted. There's no reason to feel that it's silly, and there's no reason to trivialize the effect of sincere, genuine chizik that a wife gives. I think it's amazing. So along with whatever mantra and good thoughts you could think of for yourself to boost your own confidence, the fact that you have a wife who's encouraging, as long as you, like, should I encourage him? Is that going to do it? Yes, it's a lot. It's a lot. A wife who stands behind her husband with the right encouragement and the right support is definitely helping him a lot, and it's an amazing thing. Now, you're talking about the future and the panusa and what kind of job he could get, and, you know, when he wants to do Kli Kodesh, but he doesn't know if he can handle it or whatever. It's an interesting thing. You know, you look around, the way Hashem set up the world, it's clear that the people that are louder and rowdier sometimes get further. They do. Now, obviously, Hashem has His way, and everything's about Shkuch HaBrutus, and you can't always know what's going to happen in advance. But it's true, in most cases, the President of the United States is not a quiet, timid old man, unless he's running against somebody who everyone just wants out at all costs. But in general, you know, there are certain people that fill certain positions. For whatever reason, sometimes it's the confidence, sometimes it's being loud, sometimes it's having the right yichus. There are certain rules to the game, which, as much as we might not like it, they happen sometimes. And it's true, it's part of acceptance. It's part of acceptance. The fact that the chances that one person will become a Rosh Hashiva are just less than the other person, just because of how Hashem set things up, or how society works along with what Hashem set up. You know, it's not a question that we have to accept that sometimes. Some people just get upset that, why is it like that? I should be the one. Well, how come they're taking him? Because that's how it goes. That's how it goes. The president in the shul is the guy who's who made the most noise or has the most money. It's just how it goes. So the fact that you would be more competent, or that you really want to do it, and you're so passionate, and you have all the good intentions, being realistic about how the world runs, is something that unfortunately people that don't know how to accept that, they just end up getting more upset and resentful sometimes. It's the old Chelema joke about the guy who was looking for something. So the guy said, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for my keys. I lost my keys. So, oh, where'd you lose them? So I lost them over there. So, why are you looking over here? No, because it's dark and there's light shining over here. So I'm looking over here. A little chelema joke. Obviously, if you lose your keys over there and you're looking over here, you're not going to find them, right? But sometimes when a person goes to where the light is shining, he just has a bigger chance of succeeding. When you think about it, you could be in the dark. In other words, metaphorically, you could be in a place or in a setting or an environment where technically it's dark for you and you're trying to succeed. And just not go where the light is shining. Well, I don't want to succeed over there. I want to succeed over here. Okay, so you could keep on trying to succeed where there's too much competition, where the chances of you succeeding are very small, or you could just move to somewhere where you're more comfortable and it's probably easier for you to succeed. And maybe that's just the right thing to do. And it's all part of acceptance. Now, the Chavis Avuvas talks about, in Shar B'Tochen, about Parnusa, right? Everyone has their thing that Hashem gave them, some natural talent, some natural feeling towards something which should come easy to him. Hashem didn't tell us to struggle with making a living. A person should be able to notice and pick up on what's easy for him. Now, it's easier said than done, because sometimes a person feels like, wow, I'm so good with my hands, I'd be a wonderful carpenter. But nobody needs that work. So what do you do now? Well, so he's going to go become an accountant, but that's not natural. Okay? But he has obligations. Support a family. It would be wonderful if everyone could just do whatever they like. The one that likes to sing could just sing and make a living. The one that likes to play will play and make a living. The one that likes numbers will be an accountant and make a living. It doesn't always work like that. Not everyone has the opportunity to just do whatever they want and make pranusa. But the fact that, you know, some change, this is, you know, not always is what's easy tempting, or not always what's tempting easy, not always what's tempting and easy available. But in general, to say that a person was made to shine and succeed in the place where it's easier and more natural for him, that's true. So sometimes you have a guy who's naturally better at one thing and he wants to do something else. I've seen this recently with a Rosh Hashiva. He wanted to be a Rosh Hashiva, and that was his passion. So he wanted that, right? Was it easy for him? Maybe he thought it was easy because he thought he was doing a good job, but he wasn't. He wasn't. He was saying Shirim. He was trying to offer something, and it just wasn't natural, and people weren't enjoying it. But he was stuck on, this is what I want to do. So it gets a little challenging, because Hashem doesn't want you to do things that are hard for you or things that you're not good at, but it's what He wanted. So, you know, a lot of times it's not so easy. If you're quiet and you want to help people and you want to do it this way, but that's not what you're great at, and that's where it's more challenging, and maybe something else is better. Now, it happens to be that in the Klei Kodesh field of Arbut Satoira, there's a lot of one-on-one available. I know somebody who is actually, I know more than one person, who was put into a position where he would be teaching, and that wasn't where he was succeeding. He was succeeding better one-on-one, helping boys who were struggling succeed. And they wanted him here. They wanted him in this position to help a class. They wanted him to run a school. And he tried it, actually, but he didn't like it. That's not what he was good at. He was good at something else. And then you have guys who try teaching Bukhrim or boys, and that's not what they're great at. And when they leave that setting and they go teach older men who are looking for Talmud Chochem, who could give a nice shir, that's what they're doing well. Wonderful. There's no discipline. There's no issues. There's no kvetchiness. Everyone who's there wants to be there. There's definitely a lot of opportunity, which is not always the person's first choice, but it's what he's better at. And I think that in almost every field, there's that kind of thing, which is very important. And you know, if people want to let things happen, a lot of times they'll find themselves in a place where they're better at, even if it wasn't what they really wanted to do. Now, it happens to be that when you just let Hashem run the course, you find people that are more shy or more reserved or not major confident, and vinder bevinder, you know, after some time you notice that Hashem put them in a place where you didn't think they would get. I know a lot of, let's call it shy or low confidence guys that made it very big out there. I know a few that are running huge businesses. I know one that ended up being a toyan in Bezdin. Not something you'd expect from somebody so shy. It didn't happen the first day, and it wasn't what he thought he would be good at or where he felt comfortable to just put himself out there. But slowly, it happened. It happened. So if Hashem does make things for you, make things happen for you in a way that you end up getting places that you were afraid to go, but the opportunity is being offered, go ahead. Don't be afraid. You never know. You might be better at things than you think, and the opportunities that come your way might be things you should never turn down, because you'll do a better job than you think. But sometimes, like I said, it's just good to stick to what you're good at, even if it wasn't your first choice. I just heard somebody repeat a thought that there are people that are promoted to their level of failure. You have a guy, he's learning one-on-one, doing amazing with the boys. So they give him a class. He's doing amazing in the class. So then they make him the manal of the moysid. Then he failed, and he lost his job. Now what's he going to do now? Go back to a Rebbe? What happens is people, as they do well, they get promoted more and more and more and more until they bump into the roof, and they're not good at what they were just promoted to, and they fall apart. So it's sad when people are trying to do what they're not great at, if they could be doing so much better at what they really are great at, even if it wasn't their first choice. So it's clear that getting attention in a busy world, in a noisy world, in a crowded, competitive world, is not always so easy. But sometimes you have to just focus on the goal and know what's good for you, and remember why you're here and what you're trying to accomplish, and remember all your strong points and focus on them, and stop trying to compete with the people that are just, you know, taking over the stage. And very often that's a very good thing. I'll add one ending point, and that is that this, you know, last week I was dealing with a situation that made me think of this. You have people who are so jealous of the ones that look better. People looking better. That couple looks like they have a wonderful shalom bias. This couple looks like they're doing so well off financially. This couple looks like the family looks like they have such wonderful kids. And you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And I see this so often where people are just jealous of the one that looks better and looks happier and looks more successful. And really, it's mamish the other way around. That one is so jealous of this person's happiness, etc., etc. I mean, there's 1,000 examples of this that I've seen. Just in this case, sometimes, you know, a more low-profile, calmer couple who's not shining and not loud and noisy and not accomplishing and not whatever, you don't know how many people are looking at you and saying, wow, look at that. Look at that. That's so special. That's so wonderful. It's so sweet. It's so, and a lot of the guys who are taking more attention and looking a lot more successful and whatever else are so jealous of the both the shown bias that you have, Kanan Hora, and just the gentle, normal, level-headed attitude and the wisdom and the you know, everything that you really have. And sometimes just thinking about it makes you count your blessings and realize that even if you can't compete with the big guys and you're jealous of the people that look much better at what they're doing, sometimes it's mamash the other way around. So I'll just make the short summary. Number one, life is about acceptance. And a lot of that has to do with personality, both of yourself and your spouse. There are ways to boost confidence by reminding yourself who you are and what you want to do, and having an encouraging wife and believing in Hashem. And yeah, being realistic and not trying to accomplish things that are unrealistic, and staying to what you're good at and shining where you're good at is very often the best thing you could do. And just be happy with who you are. And like anything in life, the fact that you're going out there, and the fact that you're being challenged, and the fact that you're dealing with situations that aren't easy, if you brace yourself and you prepare yourself in advance, you know, wait for the challenge and just try to make it happen on the spot, very often with the right approach in advance, you stay focused, like we started off with, you know, doing the avodas ivri by not being distracted and pulled into things spontaneously. With that, and a lot of d'shmaya, and Hashem's help and everything, and helping one another, husband, wife, husband, just beautiful. We could all be matzliach and live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.